We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi ben Menachem Shem Chav Yaakov ben Vinichos Eliyahu. We're in Kalim Perek Vav Mishnah Beis. Ha'evin shehaya shofeis alea va'al ha'tanur. Here we have a case. We have a tanur sitting on the ground, attached to the ground, an earthenware oven. You're not going to be using it for baking bread. You're actually going to be placing part of a pot on top of that tanur, and an evin, you have a rock that you attach to the ground with clay. And now there's fire in the gap in between the two, and part of the pot is sitting on the oven, part is sitting on top of the tanur, and you're going to use that for cooking. So what's the status of this, the tanur is, we know, is mekabel tumah. What about this oven that you attach to the ground that you now you have this makeshift kira reel that you made? Or olev ala kira, or let's say you had a kira that was set in place, and now you put this stone attached to the ground with clay, and there's a gap in between, and you're using this as a makeshift kira. Olev ala kupach. Kupach, we know, is somewhere between a kira and a tanur. We learned earlier in the Masechta, and kupach sometimes used for cooking, sometimes used for baking. So in all of these cases, and you have a little space in between this kupach and the and this oven that you put clay around it and attach that oven to the ground, Tumea. The halacha is that this whole makeshift kira is mekabel tumah, even though rock is not susceptible to tumah. In this case, because you put a layer of clay around it on the bottom and attach it to the ground, it's considered like an earthenware, a part of the earthenware oven or kira that you made, and therefore the whole thing is going to be mekabel tumah. What about olev alo oven? Here you have a case where you have your oven, your first oven, the oven that you attach to the ground and you with a layer of clay, but the part of the pot is sitting on an oven that's freestanding, that's not attached to the ground at all. You have a fire in between, the pot is sitting on a little bit of both. So that oven, that other oven, certainly not mekabel tumah, or should it be? Olev ala sela, or let's say you have you set your oven in place with clay on the ground, and the other part of the pot is sitting with a gap in between on sela. Rock Barchunur says, what sela? Isn't that also rock? Ha-mechuber mishashis mebrashis. That's never been detached. That's bedrock. So that's the other part. That's certainly not mekabel tumah. And there's no, you're not putting any clay on these things. Olev ala kosel, or let's say you have your oven with clay attached to the ground. That's one. But the other half, just like the freestanding oven or the sela, now this is a coastal. Now you have, there's a wall, and the pot is sitting partially on this wall and partially on the oven that's attached to the ground with clay. Then the Mishnah says to Hora, that whole makeshift kira is not considered a kira of clay cheres, because the other part of the stove is just stone, and therefore the whole thing is not mekabel tumah. This is based on the pasuk. But Tanur quotes here, Dichsiv, Yutatz Temeim Haim. Im Yesha, we mentioned this many times, that we speak about the Kira, the Tanur v'Kiraim Yutatz, they shall be smashed in order to remove their Tumah. Esha Yeshlo Netitza Yeshlo Tumah. Something that has the ability to be smashed has the status of Tumah. That's earthenware. That does not include stone, that does not include metal. And therefore, Esha Ein Lo Netitza, if there is no smashing, Ein Lo Tumah, this Tumah does not apply. And therefore, in our case, in the case of this case where one of the sides is bedrock, one of the sides is the wall, one of the sides is a freestanding stone, so the whole Kira that you made here, even though the other half of the Kira has a leg, which is an oven attached to the ground with clay, the whole thing is not mekabel tumah. And the Mishnah says, V'zo ha'isa kiras ha'nezirim she'biyushalayim she'keneged ha'sala. We mentioned this in Midos. There were four l'shachos in the Ezras Nashim. One of them was the lishka of the nezirim. People who were nezirim would come there to cook. They had to bring three karbanos after they finished their count of nezirus. And one of the karbanos was the zroa b'shela, was the shlamim. And they would cook this in this particular chamber. And they would do this keneged ha'sela, which means it was made of a stone, but opposite bedrock, opposite sela of the harabais itself, so that it shouldn't be susceptible to tumah. We don't want any tumah to be around. Now, there happened to be a lot of cooking that went on in the Beis HaMikdash, Tiferes Yisrael explains. And there they made regular stoves, regular ovens. So why is this, or regular stoves for cooking? Why should this be different? Because you didn't have that many Nazirim. You didn't have a lot of people in this chamber, and it could be that there are shrotzim there, dead shrotzim around. It's not checked on a regular basis, and there's a greater probability of there being tumah, and therefore we have to be more careful there and ensure that the kira that's being made is not susceptible to tumah. Then the Mishnah says kiras hatabachim, the stove of tabachim literally means like butchers. Here it means people who are cooking meat for on a large scale. You have a lot of customers. Bizman shehu no saint Evan bitzad Evan, where these tabachim are cooking, where they place one stone next to another. They make like a row of stones so that they could put a lot of pots on these two stones. So you imagine if you have a whole row of 10. So then you put a pot. Part of the pot is on one. Part of the pot is on stone number two with a gap in between for fire. And then you could put part of the pot on the second half of stone two and part of the pot on the first half of stone three. And then the next pot, as you go all the way down, you're able to use each stone, as long as it's wide enough, obviously, for part of one pot and part of another pot, except for, of course, the ones on the end. The ones on the end, 10 and 1, only have one part of one pot. So the Mishnah here tells us, nitmeis achas mehen lo nitmu kulam. So, of course, we're speaking about where they used clay and attached it to the ground, so therefore, potentially, it could have been kapal tuma. But what we're saying is that just because one stone becomes tame doesn't mean that they're all tame. We don't consider this like a very long kira where once one becomes tame, all of those 10 stones become tame. That much we do not assume. Bar Tanura says, he explains, shenimtseis even achas l'shtei katero. So you see that one stone is really new being used for two pots, or at least the ones in the middle. Kshenimtseis ha'achas ha'acheros tahoros. When one becomes tameh, the others are tahor. Midi dahave akalmarin hametuomos. This is similar to the inkwell that we spoke about in the second parak. Disnan leel beperak beis shem nitma achas mehen. One section of it becomes tameh, lodom tukulam. We don't say that the other sections are tameh. Perak vav mishnah gimel. Shalosh avonim sha'asaon shtei kirayim. We spoke about the kirayim from the previous mission. We have many stones, one next to the other, all arranged with a gap in between and being used, of course, partially for one pot and partially for another pot. So here we have three avonim that you made as, of course, two kirayim. And this way you're able to use it as two stoves. Nitmeis achas min hachitzona. And one of the outer stones became tameh. Remember, you attached it to the ground with clay, so it's susceptible to tumah as a kira. But here there was, let's say, at a dead sheret, and it made the outer one, the airspace, where Hero touched it, let's say. There's no real air, you have it in the airspace also, between the two stones. So, but let's say the outer stone became tameh. The dead sheretz went in there between that and the middle stone, and the other stone. There was no dead sheretz in that airspace. So nitmeitz achas bin achitzona. If one of the outer stones became tameh, ha'emtsoyes, the middle stone follows the following halacha. The part of the middle stone, that half of the stone that's being used, mishameshes, that serves together with the tame stone and makes the kira for the pot to sit upon it, is tame. But hamishameshes hatahora. But the side of the middle stone that serves the pot that's being used on it and on the third stone, on the other side, where the tuma wasn't close to that. So that second half is going to be tahor. We were able actually to divide the middle stone, the thickness of the middle stone. The half that's on the tame side, that faces the tame stone, that is tame. But the one that faces the 50% that faces the stone that's tahor, so that's going to be tahor. What about nitla hatahora? Let's say that outer stone, the third one, was removed. So now there's all you have. There's no tahor stove. All you have are two stones. You have the one that was definitely tameh, And the one that we said 50% was Tamei, but the other 50% was Tovah, that's only because that half served the other stone that's no longer here. So now the middle stone becomes completely Tamei. It's Huklata, it's been assigned to the Tamei stone. It's now there's only one Kira here, one stove, and therefore not 50%, but 100% of that second stone is Tamei. Nitla Hatmeya. Let's say the outer stone that was Tamei was removed. So that's not there. Meaning the third stone was remained. The middle stone remained. The first stone, which was Tamei, is no longer here. So then Huchlatahem Tsoyas LaTorah. Okay, so at least we're fair. We say here that now the middle stone is 100% Torah because it's serving and now assigned completely to the third stone. That's completely Tahor. What about Nitmu Shtayim HaChitzonos? So Mishnah says, Im Haisah HaEmtzoyas Gedola. If the middle stone, remember, the two outer stones are Tamei. The middle stone is Tahor. If the middle stone is large enough, is thick enough, no saying for what purpose, thick enough that it will be able to hold to balance a pot with one outer stone and the other outer stone, and there's space even left in the middle. It's so wide that there's space left in the middle. So then what we do is like this. No saying lozo kedei shvisa mikan, but lozo kedei shvisa mikan v'hashar tahor. What we do is we say like this. The middle stone, you know how much of the middle stone is going to be tamei? The amount that it needs to balance a pot that's being placed on it and on the outer stone on either side. And that amount of the middle stone that's needed to balance a pot on from stone one and stone three, that part of the middle stone is going to be tamei. But the middle section of the middle stone, assuming it's wide enough, so that's tahor because that's not needed to balance any pot along with the outer stones. So therefore, that's not part, should not be considered part of a tamei kira. Just because the outer stone is a tamei, that middle section shouldn't become tamei. Just the section that's needed to balance a pot with on either side. Vim hoisa katana, let's say it's too small. And it's not going to, can't balance two pots there. So then how cold tummy? Everything is tummy. The middle pot is tummy because we assume that that really shares the tumah with both sides. There's no section of the middle stone that's not considered part of the other stoves. Then nitla and tsoyas. Let's say the middle stone. This is the case where the two stoves, the outer ones, stones were tamei. And the middle stone, we discussed what the halacha was, whether it's big, whether it's small. Now you remove that. So the question is, do the outer stones retain their status of tumah? After all, maybe they're so far apart that you can't put a pot. The gap is so big, you put fire in there, but you're not going to be able to put a pot it's going to sit on a little bit on either side, on either outer stone, one and three. It's going to fall right through. So the Mishnah says like this, Im yachol lishpos oleh yorah gedolah, if it's able to hold a very large cauldron, a very large pot, actually can be placed balance from one end to the other, and then with the fire in between, then tamei. So then it retains its status of tamei because that can still be used as a stove. But hechazira, what happens now after you did that, and it was able to hold a very large pot, and you put the middle stone back in its place? So here, now, all of a sudden, what was one large, wide oven for a very large pot is now two new ovens. Once again, you put a middle, you put a piece in between. So the Mishnah here says, tahora. And Bar Tanur explains why. Why are both tahora now? Shebatla kira rishona. It's as if the first kira has been nullified. Uki'ilu nasatz kiras hayor hagdola. It's as if you broke that kira that's able to hold, that's very wide, that's one stone, stone one and stone three, that's able to hold a very large pot. And that's no longer in existence. It's as if you smashed that that very large kira. Now you have a new kira. So now it's tahora. What about mercha betit? If now you spread clay on it and you reattach the middle stone to the ground with clay, so then we view it as a new stove. What happens now? Mikabelas tumah. Mishayasikena kedei levasha lehasa beitza. It starts again. The clock starts again. It is susceptible to tumah now, but mikan al haba. From now on, as soon as you're able, it heats enough to cook a chicken egg, as we described all the way back when we discussed when is a kira considered susceptible to tumah. Bar Tanur explains, debai hesek kikira chadasha. It needs to be fired up like a brand new kira.